I'm speaking today on the subject, what is it to believe on Jesus Christ? Now, we hear people say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. These words are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through His name. Well, what is it? What is it to believe on Christ? Now, I've chosen for a text, a passage of Scripture from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 13. Now listen to this Scripture. In whom you trusted. In whom you trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you trusted and you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I wish every one of you, I really wish this, I covet this, I covet that every one of you would prayerfully, carefully, seriously read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. I don't know of any chapter in the Bible, that more glorifies God in His redemptive work than Ephesians chapter 1. I do not know any chapter in the Bible that makes clearer, absolutely clearer, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in redemption, quite like Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know any chapter in the Bible that makes plainer this truth that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It's the work of God. It's the supernatural, powerful, mysterious act of God. Salvation's of the Lord. And then I don't know of any chapter in the Bible that's so full of Christology. It's Christ, Christ, Christ. He said He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He chose us in Christ. He predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Christ. He accepted us in Christ the Beloved. He redeemed us in Christ. In Christ we have forgiveness of sins. And that's just the first 7 verses. And you know, in this first chapter of Ephesians, I want you to read it. I hope that if you do nothing else as a result of this telecast, I hope you'll sit down and read today the first chapter of Ephesians. Read it prayerfully and carefully and word by word, and ask the Spirit of God to open your eyes and your ears and your heart to what God is saying here. From verse 3 through verse 14, there are only 3 complete sentences. You'll be interested in this. From verse 3 through verse 14, that's 11 verses. They're just 3 sentences. And the first sentence from verse 3 through 6 shows us the Father's purpose, the Father's eternal purpose, the Father's divine purpose in redemption. It says in verse 3, God hath blessed us, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. What are these spiritual blessings? Well, we're not talking about earthly blessings such as a new car and a new house and financial success. We're talking about spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And these blessings are the blessings of grace and the blessings of mercy and the blessings of redemption and the blessings of eternal life and the blessings of sanctification and the blessings of justification, the blessing of being delivered from the curse of the law, the blessing that our names are written in the book of life. These are the blessings with which the Father hath blessed us in Christ. And then he said, according as the Father chose us. Who chose us? The Father chose us. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what it says there in verse 4. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 says, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God chose you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. And then in verse 5, it says, according as he hath predestinated us, predetermined, that we should be adopted into his family as sons, sons like Christ, to be made like Christ, to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And all of this according to his divine will, according to the will of God. Now, what we have here is the Father will to have a people back before the world began. The Father will to have a people, and he predetermined that every one of those people would be like Christ. And because they wouldn't choose him, he chose them. Because they wouldn't come to him, he came to them. Because they wouldn't seek him, he sought them. He chose them in Christ. And in Christ, he gave them all that they need and all that he required and all that heaven required. And that's what Paul is saying in this first sentence, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. He's saying, bless the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his will, according to his divine purpose, has chosen us and given us to Christ and blessed us and determined that we should be sons of God. Bless God. The purpose of God is revealed clearly. And verse 6 says, all of this to the praise of the glory of his eternal free grace. Now look at verse 7 through 12. And here we see the Son's purchase. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, you see the Father's purpose. And in verse 7 through 12, you see the Son's purchase. The Son of God, look at verse 7, he redeemed us. He redeemed us through his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. It's by the sacrifice of Christ that we are forgiven. It's by the blood of Christ that we are redeemed. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we're healed. Peter said, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. So the Son redeemed us. We were sold out to sin. We were slaves of sin. We were under the bondage of the law. There was a price on our heads, and Christ came and paid that price. He paid it to the justice of God and redeemed us. Now we're his. And then verse 9 says, the Son made known unto us the mystery of the Father's will. Now, no man has seen God at any time. God is immortal and invisible and eternal, but the only begotten Son hath revealed him. People talk about seeing God in visions and dreams. That's foolishness. The Scripture says no man has seen God at any time. The Son of God hath revealed him. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The disciples said, show us the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Christ came to reveal the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And then in verse 11, it says, the Son has enriched us through him, and by him we have obtained an inheritance. All that we lost in Adam is restored in Christ. In Adam all die. In Christ we're made alive. Romans 5:19 says, by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of Christ shall many be made righteous. So what we lost in Adam has been restored in Christ. He's enriched us. Do you see that? That's the Son's purchase. That's the Son's work in redemption. The Father himself determined to have a people, said they'll be like Christ, chose them, gave them to the Son. The Son came down here and revealed the Father. He revealed the mercy of God. He revealed the free grace of God. He revealed the mystery of the gospel. He purchased us by his blood on the cross of Calvary, and he enriched us. Through him we have obtained an inheritance. that's reserved in heaven, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now look at verse 13 and 14. And you have the third sentence here now. And we see the Holy Spirit's call. I'm giving you what the Scripture teaches verse by verse. I'm not going into a cornfield like a crow and picking up a verse here and a verse there and trying to put them together. We're letting the Scripture flow just like the apostle wrote it. He gives one sentence and points you to the Father's purpose. He gives another sentence and points you to the Son's purchase. He gives another sentence and points you to the Holy Spirit's work in calling sinners. He said, in whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth. By whose voice did you hear it? You heard it by the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, God said, but by my Spirit. Men are born, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And it's the Holy Spirit that quickens dead sinners. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we heard the word of truth, but it was the voice of God's Spirit that we heard. Christ said, he'll take the things of mine and show them to you. And then he said, after that you believed the gospel, you were sealed. Sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. How does a person get in Christ? He's baptized into Christ by the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's impossible for a person to be saved not have the Holy Spirit. We're not seeking the Holy Spirit in his baptism because we've already been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All that are born of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. I don't want another Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of truth, and he's the Spirit of Christ. And then he's our earnest, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the purchased possession becomes ours. What's an earnest? Did you men ever pay earnest money? You go down, you pick out a car, and you say, I want that car, but I don't have the money right now to pay for it. The man said, well, give me $200 earnest money, and I'll hold it for you. And you pay him $200, and that $200 says, that car is yours. He can't sell it to anybody else as long as he's holding that $200. But now, if you renege on buying it, the $200 becomes his. That's earnest money. And the Holy Spirit is our earnest, or token, or pledge. He's the pledge of God that we're going to live with Christ. And if you don't have that earnest, if God hasn't put the earnest upon you, then you're not his. That's right. He bought you. You're his. And the Holy Spirit is that earnest. The Holy Spirit is that token and that pledge. Now, here's something I want you to see. I've shown you verses 3 through 6, the Father's purpose. I've shown you verse 7 through 12, the Son's purchase. I've shown you verse 13, 14, the Holy Spirit's call. Now, if you're wise, and you'll consider what we've just read, what the apostle said, you'll note this. You'll note that in the Father's divine purpose and will, the sinner has no part. That's right. It says, he blessed us. He chose us. He predestinated us according to his will. You're not in there anywhere except as a recipient of the gift. You don't do anything. It's God that chose you. It's God that predestinated you. It's God that blessed you. All right, in the Son's work, in the redemptive work of the Son, the sinner has no part. It says, he redeemed us. Actually, Paul said in Hebrews, by himself he redeemed us. By himself. He redeemed us. He enlightened us. He enriched us. He instructed us. We don't make the work of Christ's righteousness fruitful. We don't make his blood effectual. He did it all. We sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owed, sin left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Did he? He certainly did, by himself. when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. He said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. The royal bath in which black souls are washed white was drawn from the veins of the Son of God, and no blood of noble martyrs or works or deeds of church fathers enters that stream. The banquet of mercy is served up by one host, the Lord of glory. You don't have any part in it. But now wait, hold it. Hold the phone. When the Holy Spirit called, verse 13, 14, when he called, you heard. You see what I'm saying? You heard. When the gospel was preached, you believed. When Christ was given in that gospel, in a revelation, you trusted. That's what it says in that my text. Isn't that what it says? In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit. You trusted. You heard. You believed. That's what Paul's saying in Romans 10. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, whose heart? Your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, whose mouth? Your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Nobody's going to be saved for you. Nobody's going to repent for you. Nobody's going to trust Christ for you. Nobody's going to believe on Christ for you. Nobody's going to commit you to Christ but you. It's a personal work, individually. And that's what he's saying here. Now, what is it then to trust Christ, to believe Christ? Well, to believe Christ, first of all, is to believe the record that God had given concerning His Son in His Word. You see, the Word is the foundation of faith. A man can't trust what he doesn't know. He can't trust an unrevealed Christ. He's got to be revealed. And Christ is revealed in the Word of God. Listen, 1 John 5, 10 and 11. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath given concerning his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. What is that record? It's the Word of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did he believe? He believed God's Word. He believed that God was able to perform all that he promised. David believed God. What did David say? He said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. John wrote in John 20, 31, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life through his name. The Word of God. That's the foundation of faith. And when we trust Christ and believe Christ, we trust Christ and believe Christ as he's revealed in the Word of God. We don't trust a mystical Christ, a Christ of our imagination. We don't trust a Christ of our denomination or a Christ of our tradition. We trust the Christ of the Bible. And the more you know about the Bible, the more you know about Christ, because to him give all the prophets witness. He said to the Pharisees, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have life. They are they which testify of me. You see, this Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a revelation of Christ. Now, here's the second thing. What is it to believe on Christ? To believe Christ is to rely and depend entirely on him in and for all things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ. It's by God's appointment and by God's grace that you're in Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Or in other words, all we need. Again, Paul wrote in Colossians, "In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And you're complete in Christ. It's not to trust my faith and Christ, it's to trust Christ. It's not to trust my decision and Christ, it's to trust Christ. It's not to trust my works and Christ, or my feeling and Christ, or my church and Christ. It's to believe and trust Christ. Someone said, if I am trusting and believing Christ as my righteousness, as my justification, as my sin offering before God, I rest in Him at all times, and I rest at all times the entire weight of my soul's affairs on Him. I put it in His hands. He's my advocate. He speaks for me. He intercedes for me. He represents me. Everything's in His hand. Looking at my sin, I see Christ as my atonement, and only Christ. And looking at God's law, I see Christ as my righteousness, my only righteousness. Not making up what I can't provide, but He's my only righteousness. Looking at God's justice, He's my justification. Looking at death, He's my life. Looking at the grave, He's my resurrection. Looking at eternity, He's my hope. And that's what it is to trust Christ and to believe Christ. Like the hymn writer put it, my hope is built on nothing less, nothing more or less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, however appealing, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. All right, here's the third thing. Now watch carefully. What is it to trust Christ? It's to receive Him and believe Him and trust Him as He's revealed in the Word. It's to reveal Him, it's to receive Him and believe Him, depending upon Him wholly and completely for all things. And then thirdly, to believe Christ is to receive Him in all His offices. Now, a half Christ can't save. To believe on Christ is not to believe and receive Him as we think He is, or as we've heard He is, but as He declares Himself to be. Are you with me? Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, is that prophet which God promised in the Old Testament to reveal the Father. He is that prophet. We don't look for another. And we don't know the Father except by the Son. He is that great high priest, one and only great high priest like Melchizedek. And that's mentioned 5 or 6 times in the book of Hebrews. He is that King of kings and Lord of lords like His father David, king forever. His throne is established forever. He's not going to be king. He is king. You don't make Him Lord. God made Him Lord. And if you receive Christ and believe Christ, you'll receive Him and believe Him as prophet, priest, and king. He is the creating Christ. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made. You can't receive Him any more or any less than that. He's the eternal surety of a better covenant. He's the testator of the last will and testament. He's the incarnate Christ, God in the flesh. He is the sovereign Christ who quickeneth whom He will. He's the obedient representative by whom we are declared righteous. He is the one crucified sin offering by which He perfected all who believe. He is the risen justifier. Because I live, you live. He is the risen, exalted King at the right hand of power, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. He's the one and only mediator, sharing that office with no one. He is the coming Lord. Now then, I ask you, have you received Christ? Have you believed on Him? You can't have half of Christ or two-thirds of Christ or 7/8 of a Christ. He's got to be the Christ of God as he is, not as you think he is. Now, there are parts of that I'll take and parts I won't. You can't divide Christ. He who's the creating Christ is the coming Lord. He who's the incarnate God is the risen mediator. Same one. He turned to his disciples when 5,000 people had walked off and he said, "Will you go away too?" They said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Half a Christ will not save. Another gospel, another Jesus will not save. It's got to be the reigning Christ. All right, here's the last one. To believe Christ is to continue to believe him and to trust him. Now listen to me. Thousands and thousands of Israelites left Egypt amid the noise and the celebration and the emotion of the great Exodus. But out of that vast number, only two entered the promised land. Only two that were over 20 years of age when they left Egypt. The rest of them perished in murmuring, unbelief, and idolatry in the wilderness. Thousands today make religious professions. Thousands of them. The churches have a vast turnover every year. Isn't that true? Every year. They come and they go. But the Bible says, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Nobody else. Christ will present us unblameable, unreprovable, holy in his sight, only if we continue in the faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. I guarantee you that's a fact. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Christ is the Son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing firm unto the end. What is it to trust Christ, believe on Christ? It's to keep on trusting him, believing on him. Now, I have two messages on this cassette tape. The New Testament, what the New Testament teaches about giving, and what is it to trust Christ, believe Christ. If you want them, it'll cost $2. That's what it cost us to prepare them and mail them to you. We'll mail them to you. Right, here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.